You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Jump in Knee Pod, a modern day or Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and today with me for the final episode of the year is the wonderful Lewis.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back once again for the first and the last of the year. You had to have me on. I'm very happy to be back and be doing the awards this year. And it'll be good to have a little chat about All Japan.
Yeah, so like you said, today is Jumpy Nipple's first ever end of year awards, also known as the Jumpies. We just decided like 5 minutes ago. So I asked all previous guests to submit their vote for the category. So we have a wide range of picks, except for two awards, which we'll get to soon. So Lewis, Jonathan, Dylan, Smiley, Simone, Lyric, Rachel, and myself all took some time out, and here are our picks. So let's get to the first award, and that is Heavyweight Wrestler of the Year. And I really don't have to ask who you have, but, you know, who do you have, Lewis?
I have the true, the one, Yuma, and that is Yuma Aoyagi. I think you would be lying to yourself if you didn't pick Yuma for this year. I think regardless of Triple Crown around his waist or not, Yuma had the most interesting year of anyone on the roster, in my opinion. It's close. There are a few others, but maybe they don't quite fit the category of heavyweight. But for me, Yuma is absolutely the heavyweight wrestler of the year.
Did you mean to say Yuma Anzai?
No.
And also,
this is how much Yuma Aoyagi is Yuma. Anzai, I will only ever refer to him as Anzai. He doesn't hold the title of Yuma. Yuma Aoyagi holds the title of Yuma.
Wow. First award. I'm shocked.
Yep.
Every other person, including myself, picked Yuma Anzai.
That gives you an insight into what I have to say later about that dude.
Wow. I want to get to that now, but...
No. It's fine.
I think this is going to be unanimous.
No.
Wow. I think a lot of people picked Anzai just because of the reign he had.
Sure, sure.
And just every match was fantastic, I thought.
Well, you know, and he was the focal point of the whole year for the most part. If you're talking about singles division, there's no question about that. He was the focal point of like the entire year.
Yeah, became youngest ever Triple Crown champion, which is huge. He won it less than 2 years into his career. But I will say through this episode, Rachel did give me some little extra bits for her picks, so I'll put them in here and there. She wrote that he said it was our time when he was surrounded by the new generation, when he held up the Triple Crown champion after he won it from Nakajima, which I thought was really, really cool. Okay, so junior heavyweight. This isn't unanimous like I thought the heavyweight would be, so who do you have?
I think I gave it away when I asked you a question like 2 days ago, but to me, this is like the sleeper agent of the undercard, and it's somebody that has like worked incredibly hard this entire year, who isn't under contract with the company at this point, but let's hope that by the end of this year, maybe the start of next year, that's the one thing that changes. I hope that's the good news that come. That's the only news that comes out of our annual start of the year shows, that there's no drama and that it's this. But I had Sega Tachibana as my junior heavyweight of the year.
Yeah, you can't doubt that. He was very, very close for me. I'd have Jonathan, he picked Rising Hayato, Dylan picked Seki Yoshioka, Smiley, Rising Hayato, Simone, Rising Hayato, Lyric picked Naruki Doi, and Rachel went with you. She picked Sega Tachibana. I picked Ryu anyway.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. As soon as he came back from injury, like his new look, his new attitude, just everything about him, he just, you know, stepped up like so many levels. And like, look at him now. I love him.
That second part of the year, with like, he put his foot on the gas and like that made a massive, massive deal to it. But if you go back and you watch from basically the start of this year, Sego has carried himself in any, like every position he was possibly given, he did the best he possibly could to show you as much as he could, ultimately.
Yeah. He is a fantastic pick. Okay, maybe this one will be unanimous. Tag team, who is your tag team of the year?
I mean, it's Simone's in here, so he has to, he knows. He knows all too well. It's the Saitos. It's got to be the Saitos. Like, just one-upping themselves from even an incredible year last year. Like, just insane how well they did this entire year. I had a look through Cage Match just this morning at all the defenses that they had, and I know that Simone mentioned that there's now a playlist, I think, on the website, All Japan's website, or maybe, which just is an entire playlist of their defenses this year. Well worth a watch. Well worth a watch. Ones that I just completely forgot about, like the end. Like, I forgot that was this year. Yeah, definitely, without a doubt, probably tag team, well, clearly by some award winners, tag team of the year throughout all of Japan.
Yeah, everybody agrees. It's unanimous. Saito brothers all around.
Yep.
Like you said, they won Tokyo Sports Award for tag team unanimously. They came second in the MVP. They were fourth on PWI's tag team of the year list. You know, like, they're just getting better and better, which is scary because who the hell is going to take their belts from them? I don't know.
Yeah, truly, truly.
So we're moving on to matches. First up is heavyweight match of the year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
So I have spent the last 2 weeks going through and watching, because I really like, after Champion Carnival, which does happen every year, I kind of go, okay, like, that's, I need a little bit of a breakaway. And then, like, I would come in, I'd tune in for a few shows, I'd watch a title defense. I think around Honda's challenge against Anzai was when I was like, all right, I need a bit of a break. But I went back and watched probably all the significant single matches that happened since that point. And one still sticks with me, and it was one that we talked about previously, and that is Jun Saito versus Kento Miyahara for the Triple Crown. For the Champion Carnival Finals. Like, that's still, this whole year, shone above the rest. And I don't see anything at the end of the year changing that personally, just with what we're looking at. Obviously, he's involved. But, yeah, I think that was such a coming out party for Jun, after already having just an insane tournament in itself with all the matches that he had. The final itself against Miyahara was incredible.
Yeah, I totally agree. It wasn't my pick, but that match was fantastic and it made Jun look like a star.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for Jonathan's match, he did pick one from the 31st of December last year, but because it was a couple hours till this year, I said, I'll allow it. I'm a nice host. It was Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Kento Miyahara, which was great as well. So Dylan picked Yuma Anzai versus Hideki Suzuki. Smiley picked Yuma Anzai versus Kento Miyahara. Simone picked Yuma Anzai versus Rei Saito. Lyric picked Yuma Anzai versus Kento Miyahara. Rachel picked Yuma Anzai versus Yuma Aoyagi. And I picked the other Yuma match, which was Yuma Anzai versus Ryuki Honda.
Yeah, there you go. See, like, and this is the thing, incredible reign. And like, Anzai versus Aoyagi almost beat it out for me. But I think, if you're not known for being a singles wrestler and then you put on a performance like that, for me, it just kind of like you can tack on a few extra points where I'm just like, okay, that's not your wheelhouse typically, and you're putting something like that in front of me, I've got to choose that.
It's still a valid point. Like, as all the Anzai matches are, I just picked him versus Honda because it's just the start of their generational rivalry that's
Yeah,
going to happen.
absolutely.
They're going to be rivals for years. And this match made me feel something that other matches didn't this year. I loved
Sure,
it.
that's fair.
So, junior heavyweight match of the year, what do you got?
Again, something that happened in the first part of the year, and something that we both gushed about at the time, that happened in the middle of Champion Carnival, and kind of went under the radar, like talked about at the time, but then I never saw it much talk about it past that point. It's Dan Tamura versus Sega Tachibana for the All Asia belt. Like that, yeah, just insane. Like I remember I wrote notes, like note after note after note after note when we did our recording about how much I loved how Tachibana went after, I feel pretty sure it was after Dan's arm. Like he just destroyed his arm this entire match and worked really, really hard to tell that story. And I was like, that was the point where I was just like, all right, this dude is turning it on to another level than I've seen before, and then just like kept that pace the entire rest of the year.
So Jonathan picked Dan Tamura versus Rising Hayato. Dylan picked Dan Tamura versus Koji Iwamoto. Smiley picked Dan Tamura versus Sega Tachibana. Simone picked Dan Tamura versus Rising Hayato. So did Lyric. Rachel picked Rising Hayato versus Kazuyashi. And I also picked Dan Tamura versus Sega Tachibana. It was great.
See, yeah, it was a Dan year. It was a real
Yeah.
Dan year. And like that, the Kaz and Rising Hayato match is a great shout as well. I loved that match because of what it signified in terms of the very old generation guard versus the brand new guard of the junior division for All Japan. And I think Hayashi really turned it on as well, like in the twilight of his career, which I think was like one of the last few matches he had before he hung it up. But yeah, like weird because you have to really think about it, but like not an obvious year for junior heavyweight wrestling. I think for a lot of people you could say that, but there are definitely like three or four things you could look at and be like, okay, these are significant components of this entire year.
Yeah, I also wanted to point out in her notes, Rachel reminded me of the thud that Rising Hayato took in that match with Kazayashi. Oh my God, that was like one of the scariest spots of the year for All Japan.
Full on, full on.
And I want to point out, like, just Dan Tamura almost had a clean sweep of junior heavyweight matches, but no one picked him for junior heavyweight of the year, which was strange. So we love his matches, but we just don't love him enough to be junior heavyweight of the
I
year.
think, well, after he lost the belt, it was kind of like, it's not that he disappeared, because that's not true. He was there. And again, same thing, just plodding along. And that's the story of this entire year, to be honest. But look at the tag league. Like him and Ashino had an incredible tag team there, which honestly should be something that they continue to work through. And it was this no nonsense, no bullshit, like we're coming in here to wreck shop and then leave kind of situation. But yeah, I don't know. I guess he's just not pretty, you know? He's not pretty like Rising Hayato, and so people don't remember.
Poor Dan. We still
Poor
love him
Dan.
though.
We do.
Okay, so tag team match of the year.
Yeah, sorry to split. I had a really, this was the hardest one to choose. Like I had a really, really hard time picking what to go with here. So I've actually gone with two, because I can't decide.
That's fine.
So the first is the Saitos versus Business Tag, Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi. I think it was from July, I want to say, which like I had a look at the time because I watched the whole match and I was like, wow, that felt quick. And it was like a 19-minute match. And I was like, holy shit, that's for a tag title defense, that's really fast. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really, really good. And then my other match was El Pida, which is Yuma Enzai and Rising Hayato versus Kento Miyahara and Ryo Inoue. I think maybe by a hair that beats out the other match, just completely due to the fact that both members of both teams have history with one another, one being in a way being dirty at Anzai for leaving him and not challenging for the All Asia with him, which has been an ongoing thing this entire year of him trying to get revenge on Anzai for leaving him in the dust. And the other being the Kohai Senpai relationship between Miyahara and Hayato when they were in Next Dream and all the history that they have together as well. I think that was like, in terms of when you were talking about Inoue, like a monster effort of just kicking out of things out of resentment this entire match. It was insane. You were like, I was watching faces in the crowd as people, like, as it progressed on and on and on. It was like jumping knee, kicks out, backdrop, kicks out. And like people's faces were just getting more and more like mouths are going wider, more agape. And I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, they're really giving it all to this kid right now.
Yeah, that was one of my shout out picks. I love that All Asia match. It was the best match out of the whole Hokkaido tour for me.
Sure.
I didn't pick that though, but I'll get to other picks first. So Dylan went with Dan Tamura and Hikaru Sato versus Musashi and Sekiyoshi Oka. Smiley and Simone both picked the Tag League finals, Junior Ray versus Kento and Davey Boy Smith Jr. Lyric picked Yuma Aoyagi and Asuki Aoyagi versus Kento Miyahara and Rising Hayato. Rachel went with Kurisho Tokyo Japan and Sega Tachibana versus Cyrus and Hartley Jackson. And I have another special shout out. It's Saito's versus Ayabe and Honda from September, but I went with a different match. This might be recency bias, but I went with Musashi and Sekiyoshi Oka versus Daisuke Sakamoto and Kengo Mashimo from Tag League. It was a 30-minute draw and it was so much fun. And the last minute, just how they structured that was fantastic. Like, I almost jumped out of my chair when it ended. It
I'm
was
going back
great.
to watch that. I'm going
Yeah,
back to watch
you
that.
have
I
to
need
watch
to
that
watch that.
match.
Yeah. I'm going back to watch that because that sounds incredibly up my alley.
Yeah, it was Musashi's hometown, so he was like the hometown boy. He looks so happy. It's just, yeah, it was the best match of Tag League for me.
Okay. All right. I'm writing that down right now to say that's what I need to go back and watch.
Yes. Okay. So next is Outsider of the Year. Who do you have?
Mike D, baby, it's gotta be like I can understand people picking Cyrus and maybe Hartley. That's fine. Hartley, I feel like almost shouldn't even be an option for this anymore because he's been there for so long. Mike D is a freak. That
Yeah.
dude is insane. And like, honestly, if I had to pick an MVP team for that entire tag league, it's him and Makoto Oishi. Like, that was, I loved that tag team.
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny. Oishi coming out and doing like just the almost the same setup as Sato does for Suwama, where it's just like, let me just do everything that the Saitos do. Let me just do every the little mannerisms that the Saito do, and I love them so much. And then Mike D just kind of being like, yeah, I'm all about that as well. I don't really understand, but I'm just gonna like do a shooting star press right now. Like, and then like just like a lunatic. Like everyone else in that entire tag league is like, yeah, you got a little bit of high flying in some of the teams, blah 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 blah. And that dude's a like just a genetic freak. Like he's a lunatic. Loved him, loved him, and he got so popular by the end of
Yeah.
the like. It's just so incredibly over with the fans. It's insane.
Yeah, I said on the Tag League episode that I just did, the fans love him. They were writing to him in English so he could understand, saying like, come back soon, we miss you and stuff, which I thought was so sweet. And he just seemed like so appreciative of everything that All Japan did for him, all the matches. Yeah, I don't know. I want him in Champion Carnival. I
Yeah,
need
so
him
do
in
I.
Champion Carnival.
I really like that. I know Oishi is really stepping, like, especially now, is stepping down in terms of his schedule, wrestling wise. The four of the, I guess six now, hey, because of what the fuck is what's Masada's gimmick under the mask?
Senior Sato.
Senior Sato and Doi. Like, it's I could do without Senior. That's fine, but like those five, the brothers. Mike, Oishi, and Doi is like the greatest five-man group you could come up with. It's awesome.
Nah. Well, they need Senior Sato to take the pins. They need a pin
Yeah,
taker.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. I guess that's true. But yeah, I thought he was incredible. Like, genuinely, I really do hope he comes back next year. I hope I think they do. They obviously do see like how popular he's gotten. And I hope they go, okay, well, he needs to become a bit more of a mainstay in the company.
Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we see him next year. Other picks, so Jonathan picked Katsuhiko Nakajima, Dylan picked Seigo Tachibana, Smiley picked Naruki Doi, Simone picked Seigo Tachibana, but also gave a shout out to Cyrus as favorite foreigner of the year. Lyric said Fuminori Abe, Rachel agreed with you and said Mike D, and I went with Seigo Tachibana. There was no competition
Nice.
for me. It was Tachibana all the way.
I think about him as an Arresto member already because he's been there now for years at this point. That I'm like, okay, like yeah, whatever. Like, and then people say, and I'm like, oh yeah, he isn't signed at all.
He just gets along with the roster so much. And he has fantastic matches. They just like go out there, have the first match, and he's like, yeah, okay, sure. And then like he steals the show.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to you about it, but I'll talk about it a bit later as well. But yeah, there's something to be said about like four specific dudes in the company at the moment that just control the undercard and do such good work, getting everyone excited for the rest of the show.
Next one, I'm excited to hear your pick. So it's shocking moment of the year. What do you got?
Have Davey Boy winning the triple. Yeah, I don't know. Is it shocking? Maybe it's not shocking, actually. Maybe
People
it's,
pick that. So yeah.
yeah, I guess it's shocking at just how stupid it is, but also some like at this point, sometimes I just go, be prepared for something like that as soon as it kind of looks like it's coming over the horizon. But yeah, that's mine.
I guess something that shocked me about it is it's exactly the same way Yuma lost the belt a year ago. And it's like they're doing it again.
Yeah, and honestly, by comparison, worse in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to. Okay, well, I'll give a positive as one as well because I've just thought about it. But Musashi just on the spot becoming a member of the roster, that is my like feel good moment of the year where I was just like, that was incredible. That was awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea what was happening. And then I see the president. I was like, oh, is he signing? And the president makes like a big zero, like, oh, so saying like, yes. Like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That was a really good feel, like a really feel good moment for the year.
Okay, so Jonathan picked Anzai winning the Triple Crown. Dylan picked Davey Boy winning the Triple Crown. Smiley picked Anzai winning the Triple Crown. Simone picked Anzai winning the Triple Crown. Lyric picked Davey Boy winning the Triple Crown. Rachel picked the disbandment of Voodoo Murders. So I think she wrote, is Taro said to the Saitos to make all Japan the kind of wrestling Giant Baba talked about and let me take the bad things, which is like the nicest things he's ever done since his return. And she also picked Yuma Aoyagi, convinced to have a no DQ match despite disliking hardcore matches.
Yeah, I think the I don't know, the Anzai one is like it by no means I definitely with who he was against was it a foregone conclusion, but I think for me I was like they're very clearly like clearly gearing for this. Like this is happening this year at some point, if it's here or somewhere else. So for me I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I have a special shout out for Anzai winning the Triple Crown, and I think it's because Nakajima was like seemed like he was heading for a match with Suwama, and I thought that was going to be the Triple Crown match, and then Anzai wins it, and then Nakajima just leaves. So it's like, oh well, okay, that's never going to happen. So I got a like a lighthearted one is that's Doi joining the Saito brothers to become the third Saito. Like that was out of nowhere.
Was awesome. That was awesome.
But number one pick for me is way back the first show of the year, and that was a crowd booing the president of All Japan.
How far we've come, you know? We've come so far in this year from whatever that was. And that scenario was, yeah, interesting. I'm sure we'll talk about it. But a very, very, very interesting year.
Yeah, I remember sitting there and I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking, do you reckon they're gonna boo the president? And then he gets on the mic and they boo him and my jaw just drops. I'm like, holy shit, they're actually doing it.
And then Hayate kind of took that whole Rising Hayate kind of took that whole punk defiance to the man situation and had green tape play as he left.
Oh, that was an insane for sure, the like you said, we'll get to it. Okay, the most important award now is the fashion moment. What is your fashion moment of 2024?
So I have two. One I know was not on purpose, but I appreciate that it ended up working anyway. And the second is definitely on purpose and happens every single time that this person comes out to the ring. So I appreciate that. My first one is Musashi and Seki just somehow having gear that matches and looks perfect together. Like watching them against, I think it was Abe and Tachibana, which was a couple of months ago now. Watching them walk out, I was like, oh, they're like, they have gear. They have matching gear. They got matching gear, and I don't realize that. And then I looked closer and I was like, no, this is just their gear that looks perfect because it's both silver and like have black accents on it. And I'm like, okay, this is like, they can never lose the titles. Like, that's not allowed now because it, like, by not on purpose at all, they match and they look incredible. And then the other one, what a shock, is Tachibana wearing all matching color outfits all the time. Coming out with different types of shades, that was the thing for me. Having weird slug eye shades and like just in like a love heart, flashing love heart shades, like the like Harada from DDT when he does the Tokyo Go dance, like stuff like that, where I was just like, yeah, this dude needs to be All Asia champion forever. Like that needs to happen. So there you go.
Forgot about Tachibana's sunglasses. Should have picked that. Yeah, I love them to see what he's going to wear. Like each match he comes out, like what sunglasses does he have today? Other picks was Dylan went with Yuma's karate gi from the Champion Carnival Finals when he teamed with Koshinaka. Smiley said Hokuto Mori's entrance gear. Simone went negative and said beardless Ray, which it's terrible. He's got to
Yeah,
grow back his beard.
does.
Lyric said Ranyabi's transformation, as did Rachel, and she also said Dan's short-lived entrance jacket, which do you remember that? Yeah, he got rid of that very quickly for some reason.
Was that title time? Was that when that was happening?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't either. That was the first part of the year. Vaguely, so vaguely. Dan not coming out and just Dax is, that's all my images are. And maybe it's like an Evolution t-shirt. That's the only thing I ever see him in my brain. Like it's nothing or it's just the t-shirt.
Yeah. So my second was Hokuto Mori's new look. I just think he needs pants. Like, you know, those tearaway pants like Naito has when he's wearing the like white suit, you can just take it off quickly. But I had to go with Ranyabe. Like his pink hair, his whole outfit. And then you're like, oh, it looks like a Carter. Then I was like, damn it, why'd you tell me that? Now I can just say a Carter.
Well, he does like, and
Yeah,
like, yeah
he does.
yeah
Yeah.
better though, I will say, like taller and looks a lot nicer in that. And I really just hope he doesn't get tassel pants like Okada ever did. He doesn't need long boys. Like that's, I think that's like, apart from Ishikawa, no one should wear long pants. Like tall dudes, no one should wear long pants. You keep to the like the dacks or the shorts, whatever you want to do. But apart from him, I really don't want to see it. Like, just leave it alone. You look great. You got long legs. It makes you look imposing.
I was trying to picture Suama in the long pants, but I can't.
Who?
No.
No, he has to wear un like he has to wear dacks. It has to be
Yeah.
that.
No, totally agree. Do you mean like baggy ones though? Because Kento wears long pants, but they're tights.
But he's not tall enough where I think that's an issue. Like he is, I think he's not even 6 foot, is he? I don't think he is. He's
No, I thought he
short.
was.
No, he's a short dude.
You can't say he's short.
Okay, he's not super short because
He's tall for other
Nakajima.
companies.
Yes, that's true. Nakajima is shorter than him.
Yes.
But I don't know. I don't see, like, I just don't see it
Yeah, I get it.
looking good. Like I'm trying to think of all the talk, like Ishikawa's tag partner Sato never wore them. Ishikawa is the only one in my mind that I will
Yeah.
allow.
Yeah, stick with the shorts, Ren, if you're listening for some reason.
Truly, truly.
Yeah, but yeah, just his new outfit and just the confidence that came with the new outfit was great.
Absolutely.
So now we're going to move over to something a little fun. I just said, you know, everyone just give me a prediction for next year. It can be as small or as big as you'd like. So what is your prediction?
What is my prediction? I'll make two. for the juniors and the heavyweights. I would love to see Ryo Inoue win the junior title. I think that would be, and I think we're on track for that now. Like, if I have a sneaking suspicion that with this last card of the year, we might see a title change, potentially, I'm not sure. If that doesn't happen, I think we're then on track for the junior title to be on him at some point during the year. The other one is a long shot, and with every growing day, I feel like this is going further and further away from ever happening. But I really want to see Ishino hold the Triple Crown. I don't care if it's for a single defense, I don't care if it's for no defenses. I want to see him win that belt. And you can immediately take it off him if you want to do that. But I need a photo and I need him posing in the ring with it. And then you can do whatever you want. But it needs to be something that's attached to his record.
Yes, we'll get to Ishino soon. I think you can guess who did an Ishino prediction.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But first, Jonathan said a Saito brother wins a triple crown, which I reckon I can see happening.
I could see it.
Dylan said either girls start competing in All Japan again, and like fingers crossed they do because I miss them so much.
We'll talk about that in a bit. But yes, yep.
Okay, so Smiley, of course, said Ishino wins Triple Crown, and I hope so.
That's
I
my
really
boy.
hope so.
Yeah.
Simone said Asuki will win the belt almost immediately, and they'll try to speed run Taishin and start treating Inoue differently in a positive way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I mean, as the sun rises on every day, I think Natsuki will win the belt back almost immediately. It's whatever. Like it's weird. That kind of stuff really does, I think, change the perspective for certain people, how you view a wrestler when you do stuff like that. But that's fine. Yeah, I think, like we were just saying, in a way, I think there has been a big shift, and like they clearly see, especially with the look that he has now. And who he's partnering with, a lot of the time, I think they very clearly have a plan for him.
Lyric says Reniave wins the Triple Crown, which
Okay.
I don't know if I can see it as much as the Saitos, but why not? He won the Royal Road. They're going all in with the younger guys.
Yep. I think he has a better shot than Honda at this stage, at this point right now. I think Honda is probably in a certain place in certain people's minds in that company when it comes to legit chance of winning the Triple Crown. But yeah, I think Ren, give it a few years. I don't think it's next year, but give it a few years. I think it's possible.
Rachel also says Reniave will win the Triple Crown and come out with a crown on his head. That's in quotes. She said Ren reigns, so.
Right, nice.
And also this one's, just out of nowhere, but I love it. Dan Tamura collaborates with Gudetama, which is that lazy egg from the Hello Kitty series.
I don't even know. Okay.
Yeah, I have a picture of it on my whiteboard because it looks so funny. Give me one sec. Do you know this lazy egg?
Oh, I do know this. That would, what, for a t-shirt or something? That would be awesome.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be sending you, if that happened next year, I'd be sending you money to going, or whoever is next to go over to go and get me one of those t-shirts.
Yeah, so look it up if you don't know who it is. Because once you see it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I know who that egg is.
It's the little yellow dude with the funny that makes the kind of funny face that sits in an egg. Yep.
Okay, my pick is Rinya Inoue wins the belt. Junior Road TV title, All Asia, one of them. He's going to win it next year. And just a silly one to end it, because I thought we just need something silly after this year, is I made this prediction before, and it is Ishino gets different colored tights. I'm over the red, I'm over the black. He needs a new color. Give him purple, green, brown, white, whatever. Different tights,
He
Ishino.
had blue, right? Or like same evolution color, whatever you want to call that, when he was tagging with no,
I
not at
cannot
all.
remember.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he had, maybe not for long, because he definitely wore red when he was tagging with Suwama at certain points. I feel like maybe in my mind I saw him in some kind of like Master Suplex blue accent, but I might be wrong about that.
I'll go back and check because That was Runaway Suplex time. I love them.
Yeah,
But yeah,
great.
give us a new color, Shino. Maybe that will be like the secret to winning the Triple Crown.
If he comes out in all white, like all white gear
Oh,
for a TC match, that's it.
yeah.
That's the
He's
winning
winning.
combination. Yeah.
Oh. I can't stop thinking about it now. Yeah.
That would look crazy, by the way. Like actually insane if he wore white gear. I don't know what that I don't know how I would feel about that, in all honesty.
So those were our awards, the jumpies, that were their predictions. Just a note, these are our picks. If you don't agree with them, don't argue or think they're dumb. You know, everyone has their own pick. If you have any, why not like DM me, message me, tell me what your picks are. So we're just gonna talk about the year that was. It was crazy. It was like a roller coaster of up and downs, really. The first couple of months was hard, and it absolutely sucked to be a fan of this company because everybody came out of the woodwork. People I've never talked about All Japan before just started talking about, oh, it's dead. All Japan's dying. Everyone's leaving. Someone even said, like, Fuchi's leaving because they're giving him that show, which was a show for his birthday and anniversary, but now he's leaving because they gave him a special show. It was just negative everywhere you looked. And then once things kind of settled down, everyone disappeared. And they never talked about All Japan again.
No, of course not. Well, it's not a buzz thing anymore. Yeah, look, I've said that I've talked about this so much that I'm almost sick of doing it, but I follow two of the companies that have the most discourse in whatever you want to, the sphere that we kind of gravitate in, which is Noah and All Japan. And if it's not one, it's the other at any given time. And I'm kind of sick of hearing about it. But I think especially this time last year, when there was like before Dempsey had even been announced, I kind of just decided I don't care. Whatever happens will happen, and I'll go from there. Like, there's no point in getting stressed about it, and there's also no point in listening to anyone, because ultimately, and this is as sad as it's true, negative discourse generates more
Yeah.
in like clicks and involvement and conversation around it than positive. And that's why as soon as anything is half decent or just chugging along, nobody gives a fuck. Nobody says anything. Nobody cares. It's why interest wane as well. And so people are just like, yeah, I'm sure it's good, or it seems okay right now. It's never like, it looks great, it's been going well, they've course corrected. No, it's never that. It's like, oh, right now it's fine. But like, it's, and that's always the case constantly. So yeah, I mean, I've said this to you, I've said this to Simone, I've said this to Dr. Jonathan, but like, the reason I know All Japan is in a good spot and has been for 3 quarters of the year, is because I've been able to go off and watch other things. I'm not parenting watching. Like, I'm not parent watching right now. I don't need to be worried because there is nothing particularly wrong going on. We'll talk about one or two things that I'm sure people have opinions on. And that's fine, whatever. But for the most part, they seem to have realized that they burnt themselves, and they went, okay, we can't do that. That was wrong. That was the wrong move. That was stupid. We're moving on from that. And that's what they've done.
Yeah. I think the president kind of realized his mistakes, realized, okay, this didn't go over well, especially with people booing him. He's kind of wandered back a bit. I know he had the interview at the start of the year, and he did seem he was trying things, and they just didn't work out for him, unfortunately. I think he said, like, he's new at this, like, he's never done it before. And I don't know, he just got to a bad spot. But things are turning around now, I think.
100%.
Yeah. I think
100%.
there was a point in March, I believe it was March, when Yuma Anzai won the Triple Crown. I feel like that was a reboot. Nakajima was gone, things kind of leveled out. That was All Japan's reboot, especially with bringing all the younger generation to the ring and showing them like proudly, okay, this is the guys, you know, who's going to lead All Japan.
100%. Like the creation of Elpida, and the removal of the Voodoo Murders label attached to the Saitos are like two huge, significant, groundbreaking movements that happened that I think really opened up the rest of the year for success. Like, they strapped the they honestly, they did a bit, but the Saitos did most of it by themselves. They just became, like, I don't think it's like unfair to say, a Japanese icon within this year specifically. They have their own TV show coming. They already had their own show that they were doing with the taxi. I don't know exactly what it was. They're slowly transcending that of just being wrestlers. Like that is obviously always going to be their what they're known for, but they are clearly branching out and becoming more popular. And like we were having these conversations last year when they were selling out their shows and moving to bigger venues. It's insane. Like it's an insane thing to happen to any company in Japan. That doesn't happen in like again, I don't want to be a dick and compare, but like that doesn't happen in New Japan. Nobody on the New Japan roster is selling out their home shows like that and making as much headlines as the two of them are in just Japanese news in general. So it's a huge deal to have somebody like them on the roster. I know Simone documents them really, really well and is a very good worthwhile follow if you ever want to find out more about that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think you're right. Trusting in their young and also just newish to the upper echelons of the company guys has made a huge difference.
I think two things that settle the fans this year is Anzai's reign and just the Satos being the Satos, because we know what to expect from them, and that's not a bad thing. We know they're just going to dominate. We know Ray's just going to be out of control, crazy, while June's a cool older brother. I absolutely love when June takes out his hair and the fans lose it, because it's just like Jake Lee, but I feel like they go crazier for June. I have to watch Jake Lee one of his matches back, but yeah, I love that. They're so loved. I told this story before, but when I was in Japan, people got dressed up just for their matches as the Sato brothers. They put on fake beards, fake mustaches, glasses, leather jackets. And as soon as their matches were finished, it came off. They're like, okay, I'm back to normal or Japan fan. They love these two guys. And yeah, I just think they were so positive for the company.
Yeah, and being able to be not a part of this like extreme heel, evil, whatever you want to call it, group, and being able to A, show personalities like June loves sweets, Ray loves beer, they put a bet on. That's like it's all endearing yourself to a crowd more and more and more and more and more. And like they obviously talk about things outside of just wrestling on the shows that they do as well. People watch that, they find out more about like that's all it is. Wrestling really is like you come to watch what it is that you come to watch, and then you stay for the personalities, especially when they're real, more so than other places in the world, for those people because you become like they become endearing to you. And that's why you stick to watching them and you follow them as fans. And that's what they've done.
In their hometown, All Japan was giving out fans like merch order forms they had to fill out. Like, what merch from the Satos do you want? They do that for nobody else except for the Satos.
They it's I think we're maybe getting to the point now where we can say like generational tag team and attraction for this company in ways that you probably haven't seen since before the 2000s, maybe like at this stage. I think that's fair to say. Yeah, just not nothing is really comparable out there at the moment. Apart from retirement shows and people and like bringing it into their careers, nothing really garners like traction like those two do. So yeah, I'll always sing their praises as somebody who followed them from the start and from the point that they before they left and then came back and then transformed to what they are now. Incredible.
Yeah, and they transform to single stars as well. Like, they are a dominating, crazy good tag team, but they're crazy good at singles as well. Look at their matches with Kento and then Anzai later in the year. Fantastic.
And like again, creating identities individualized from each other, where Ray is very clearly a powerhouse and a massive mountain to overcome, and June is still that to a degree, but has more athletic moves in his arsenal. Was able to, like, to this point so far, has had more opportunities single wise to be in big, big positions. I mean, he was in the finals of the Champion Carnival, that's a huge achievement. And then obviously this match that we're going to talk about in a little bit at the end of the year, both of them have had Triple Crown champion matches. Like it's very clear how they're perceived by the company as well as the fans.
Two other guys I want to shout out that weren't there to show off the new generation when Yuma won the Triple Crown. Sorry, Anzai won the Triple Crown. Ayame and Honda. They've just been so great. They came together as a weird tag team. They don't have the same personalities, but they just work. And they both made finals of the Royal Road. And I didn't expect that at all. Like these two young guys, Honda main evented like three or four out of five shows for the Royal Road, which is insane, and he deserves it. I don't think they're as high as Anzai or Saito's because no one is really this year, but they're getting up there.
Yeah, and Honda is like ever since, I think for me personally, ever since his team with Ishino when he had that defense against Sato and Ishikawa, which was like an insane match if anybody can go back. I can't even remember when that was. Maybe that was 2022. I can't actually quite remember. That was Gundam. Sorry,
GOA.
GOA. Don't ask me to say the name. Of Anagi, that's all I know. He from that point on, I think people were like, okay, this dude's really like hitting his stride now. And again, still for the most part, pretty early on in his career and pretty young, so there's only more improvement to come. But yeah, this whole change to Kamen Rider, influenced gear, music, everything, I think has just like really pushed him over the edge for people to be like, this dude's an attraction to come and see. The 1, 2, 3, 4, massive, and is like incredibly over with the entire crowd. And then just like a good wrestler on top of all of that.
I just want to point out, if people don't know, because this was a while ago, when Honda completed his rookie stage, one of the first matches he had was a Triple Crown match. And when Ren signed with All Japan, his second ever match, he beat Kento Miyahara in singles. Like these guys are over.
100%, and like very clearly seen as future players. If not, they're basically there now. El Peter, I think, is like a graduate, like essentially the act of a graduating class into the main event. Very clearly, from like almost every single member there.
Something negative I want to touch on is the junior heavyweights. I don't think they had the chance as previous years to shine. They had no tournaments, so no tag tournaments, no single tournaments. And with Doi being injured for half the year, like we lost the belt. There was no belt representation. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think also it's why it was interesting to me to hear people say Doi as a junior of the year, because I don't think this title reign that he's had, even before the injury, was anywhere close to the first one. The first one was great, awesome, really, really good. And like, I'm not saying he's not putting on in his best effort, but I think the environment in which you operate within can really influence that of the outcomes of your own efforts. But I agree. I think almost outside, just by proxy of the actual quote unquote definition of the junior division, like things like the All Asia Tag Team and the All Asia Heavyweight Belt itself, that is actually where you saw better and more representation for the junior division than in its actual division itself, for the most part, which after this, we're talking about four specific dudes that I want to really give a mention to.
And just another thing about the juniors, I think losing Askew really hurt them.
And I mean
Definitely.
that's maybe an issue in itself when you, and this happened previously with Iwamoto, where if you develop an entire division around a single person and that person has to go away from it for injury or whatever other reason, you are very clearly left with no ideas of what to do. And you have options there. You have two great options there that have been there in the graduating class with that same person, who have shown this year specifically that they're more than capable of filling those shoes, in my opinion, as well as outsiders that are all circling around the company as well, that it doesn't need to be as stagnant as it was at certain times.
I don't know. I just feel like Okay, so like when Jake left, I thought it was gonna be
New Year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Really hard to fill his position.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as hard as I thought. With the younger guys moving up, I thought it was feel pretty good. For the juniors, when Usky was out, I feel like no one felt his position. Like it was open and nobody took advantage of that. Because Dan Hayato had junior title runs, but I don't think they were as good as it could be. Because I feel like the juniors fell to the side this year. And that's unfortunate that they did. Anyway, is on his way moving up. Like Simone said, he thinks they're going to speedrun Taishin, and I agree, because they need more juniors. The freelancers are good, but they can't fill Usky's spot, and they didn't try to fill Usky's spot.
Yeah. It's hard because whilst they're not the same, they're very similar in certain ways. Hayato and Atsuki are stylistically wise very similar, super similar. Atsuki may be having a slight edge over him athletic wise, but I don't think you need to always have that be the junior style. And whilst I like Atsuki, I never have ever thought in comparison to Hayato he is better than him. In my personal opinion, that's only my opinion, I've always thought Hayato has always been the scraps guy, and he's been given the main course, and he's always done the best he possibly can with those scraps, and very clearly developed an incredible character out of that that people gravitate towards, and a look that's incredible as well. But I do think there are options there. I really think Hayato could be that person if they went the full way with him. I think Dan could be that person. I think he's shown that he can be that person. Yeah. He, like, again, very different style of match, but something that is more foundational to the history of All Japan than the other two is, that I think is super endearing to the crowd.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing about it. I reckon if Asuki didn't get injured, I would bet good money my junior heavyweight of the year will still be Rhee Inoue.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like it, and that's the other thing. Most of us anyway, gravitate towards somebody that earns.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Atsuki hasn't. He's put in tons of work, but really, really clawed to get what they have been given so far. And that is Inoue. And previous years, that was Hayato. And maybe even this year and previous years, that was Tamura. Like, they all had to prove, like throw, run, and catch the ball for themselves over and over and over and over again to be given opportunities. Inoue hasn't really even been given that yet. I mean, he had a title match this year against Doi, but again, in a very kind of lackluster year for junior heavyweight wrestling, it's not going to be remembered, unfortunately.
What is something else you want to talk about this year?
I want to talk about the lower card of almost every single All Japan show for the better part of this, like half this year, which is the Four Kings, in my opinion, and especially two in particular, which is Fuminori Abe, Seki Yoshioka, Musashi, and Sego Tachibana.
Yeah.
Those four guys, with the inclusion of Hikaru Sato and Dan Tamura in pieces, have dominated and controlled the lower part of these cards and set up exciting main events for people further down the card by how much action that they pack in. I think putting the belts on the tag team of Seki and Musashi and having the incredibly funny relationship that the two of them have had, which is like them swooning over each other at every press that they do, and like Musashi not being able to get a word in without his music being played, mics being cut off, whatever, like that running bit is so much more, like it's so good to have something like that at the first part of the show because people will stay invested for the remainder of the show. And I think they've done nothing but great things for themselves. Abe has been I'm biased. I love the dude. I love him so much. Super welcome contribute into the company. And again, like Sego is just, he should be, a contract should be happening. Like, I don't, maybe that's a his him decision and it's been offered already, but I would love for All Japan to be his main home because he has done just exceptional work.
Yeah.
Those two are hilarious together as well. Abe and Sego are so funny, like walking together, holding the All Asia belt around each, like themselves together and like holding onto each other. Hilarious.
That was adorable. And then Sega Tachibana had his own Garou TV title when Fuminori Abe held the real title.
Exactly. Yeah. The cutout. That's so funny. Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's it. That's all you need. And like, especially younger people will love shit like that. Like, if you have kids going to shows like that and they see that kind of stuff, especially with a dude that wears funny glasses and dresses in bright colors, that's a selling point for anyone.
I just love the team of Musashi and Yoshioka. They've been such a bright spot in All Japan. They've really also helped the juniors, I reckon, especially Musashi coming in. Like, I think he's like, I'm not here to make waves. I'm not here like just to go for the belt straight away. Like, I'm here to help the
To
juniors.
build,
That's what they need. They need an older guy to help. Not that Musashi's really old,
No.
but because the junior division is just so young.
Outside of Fujita Junior Hayato, that's the second best Michinoku Pro guy you could possibly get. In all honesty, like he is incredible. He's such a good wrestler. And yeah, you're right. Like that foundational building, rather than like, and again, no disrespect to Doi, but immediately going for a belt. If you do what the two of them have done, which is completely rehabilitated the All Asia belt, like Izanagi and Zeus did years ago at this stage, they did an incredible job rehabilitating that belt. It means what it does now, so that people like Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato can have an incredible reign because there's been foundations built to it.
And when I heard he was going freelance, I thought, okay, All Japan's gonna be his first stop. And then he's gonna move around, kind of like Doi did. But no, he stayed. He signed. Oh, I was so happy when he signed. Yeah, it's just him and Ayabe just signing, like, amazing, perfect. They signed and they took the ball and they ran with it.
Truly. Yeah. And we're rewarded as such. Like, I think they looked at both of those two guys. Ayabe has been around longer, obviously, and had more time to, and obviously is quite like, was taken under by Ishikawa during that time, which is super helpful. But they've both shown that through doing that, they'll be rewarded for their positions.
Do you want to say anything else positive, or can I move to like the
No,
last
it can
couple
be
of months of the
negative.
year?
Yeah. We can be negative. That's fine.
Ugh. I want so much more for Yuma Aoyagi. I don't want him to lose the fucking triple crown in Sapporo ever again. Twice in a row. 2 years in a row. Like, why? Same building as well.
I will play devil's advocate this one time, which is, I think, whilst we, the supporters of One Yuma, it upsets us greatly. I really do think he's like Teflon. I think he has a character that he plays and the way that he wrestles and the way he's booked, that I'm not saying it doesn't matter, because it absolutely does. It does matter, and he deserves that. But he's capable of moving up and down the card as he does and giving whatever it is that you need from him on any given night. And that's so rare that they, which is maybe in the long run, not a good idea, feel that they can do this kind of stuff because they can always just heat him back up to be a champion again. I'm not huge on that. I think sometimes that's stupid to do, but I feel like that is the attitude that they have.
I just couldn't believe they did twice in a row. Made him lose at the same venue and made him lose to a foreigner who went on to cosplay a past wrestler. We had Inoki, now we have Tsuruta.
Yeah. And like, I've said this to you and I've said this to other people, I don't give a shit
if you don't know Japanese, fluent Japanese, if you're not fluent Japanese and you become the biggest holder of the title in a company, I don't give a fuck. That's fine. Try, make an effort. Don't look like a prick. Don't look stupid, but which is completely your own doing. And don't say belligerently borderline racist and stupid things and talk about people that clearly are not well liked and have evidence out against them to say that they're shitty human beings. Don't be dumb. That's all you have to be. Be stupid in your own mind. That's the thing. I think a lot of people forget this. You can be as awful as you want in your own brain, so long as you don't say it. But as soon as you say it, we all know. So don't. If you want to remain being an awful person, keep it in your brain. Don't say it. Yeah.
I love this so much because we had a rant when we did Tag League episode just a couple of days ago about, like, we're talking about David Boy, in case people don't know about him. And now we have another rant today. I love it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just like, and you look stupid by comparison because you're next to the one of the most charismatic wrestlers in the entirety of Japan on the mic, in the ring, performance-wise, and you're doing leg Hogan leg drops and working like trying to slow down matches in the middle of a tag league. That like, and I said this to you just before we started recording. Almost every single year that I've watched World Tag League, or sorry, Real World Tag League, the finals are my match of the year. They are not my match of the year this year because fucking Davey Boy Smith Jr. doesn't know how to work a tag match against two of the best tag match wrestlers currently in Japan. Like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Like, poor Kento is carrying that huge man on his back through that entire tour and seemingly onwards. And I know he loves teaming with you, like either wrestling against or teaming with massive foreigners. But why couldn't that be Cyrus? I'd rather have Cyrus there, you know? Yeah, I don't know.
So
I
that
don't know.
was, yeah, that made the end of year kind of negative. I didn't watch any of his matches except for the last two for Tag League. I'm like, yeah, nah, I'd rather watch A Block, to be honest. There were good things, of course. Sato's winning Tag League. You know, we still have the younger guys who are performing like crazy. It's just that it's such a negative stain on the end of the year. And because last year's end of year was so negative, I'm just like, is it happening again? Why?
I think, yeah, when when he was in the Royal Road, that's right? Or is it no, Champion Carnival? When he was in Champion Carnival, I did think at that time, I went, ah, shit, this dude's not going away after this. He's gonna come back. I was like, yeah, right. And then Kento started talking about teaming with him, and I went, oh, fuck, this might be the end of it. And I thought, maybe at the worst, they win the tag titles, worst. And I was like, oh, he's challenging for the TC. He's going to beat Yuma.
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Like, I was like, no, like, that's not what I want. And yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know. This is what they do. This is what happens. If we see somebody that has some name ish overseas, there's every chance this happens. So.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. It's kind of related to this, but when business tag split up, unfortunately, they'll get back together one day. Yuma and Kento always will. Kento said, like, I'm going to team with people I don't like and people I've never teamed with before. Who do you want him to team with? I said T-Hawk and Suwama.
I want T-Hawk nowhere near All Japan, in my opinion.
But they're such a great team.
Yeah, but T-Hawk is not a great person. So.
Well, the thing is, like, when he's like, I want to team with people I don't like, Suwama, 100% Suwama. They can't
I
stand
would
each
love
other.
that. I would love that. That would be great. Who else would I like? I'd love somebody that we haven't talked about at all. I would love him to tag with Amori. I think that would be a really interesting dynamic. And I think Amori actually is a super capable, clearly a super capable tag wrestler. And Kento, in the way that he does, which is barking at people at his own tag partners from the corner, would be able to do something similar to what Nakajima did without as much violence in getting him to be motivated enough to do things together in cohesion as a tag team. That said, Amori has one of the greatest factions under his name currently, again, working in like incredible undercard matches. Yeah, I don't know. Cyrus really, it's Cyrus in my head. Like, yeah, he loves him so much. Like, that is his, said this before. People have said this before. In his head, it's like Hogan and Andre. Like, that's the equivalent. But
yeah,
I would really like that tag team to challenge for belts. I think that would be really funny.
Imagine if Kento joins the Hulkster army. He's not the leader for once.
That'd be great. Yeah. I would love that. I hope he loses a match where that's the stipulation.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. That's so WWE, by the way. Like, yeah, that's incredibly WWE, but, like, that it would be really funny to me. And he has to dress.
They did that with Taru. If, like, Kento loses in the first round of the Royal Road tournament, I think it was, he had to join Voodoo Murders. So they've already done it before.
Yeah, okay, well, then that's fine. But he should lose. And then he should have to wear, like, a cape or something like that. That would be really funny to me.
No, I reckon Hokuto Mori is like, I'm the only one who can wear capes.
Wear capes, yeah. Okay. So he has to wear like a uniform of some kind, like, yeah, but like a demotion kind of one.
Mm.
Yeah. I love that.
We should book All Japan.
It would be really like a really good junior division and then Aoyagi on top.
Yeah.
And then anything in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kento's in the Hokuto army. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about anything else from this year? Any final thoughts?
I think we should talk. I know you did on the last episode, but very briefly, I want to talk just about Sawama and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't want to go into it much because I'm sure you've covered it. But my thoughts are that whilst it seems, and this is all just hearsay anyway, and I don't know the validity of any of this and blah, 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 it seems like that issue stemmed from Evo Girls getting shafted out of not being on All Japan cards, which again, I think was a massive shame, which very quickly, I'll just talk about it. But like, I followed some of the, like, mainly just Zones and Chi-Chi, because they have been the two remaining members that have been around this whole time. Chi-Chi is a champion right now. Yeah. And like doing incredibly well, which is like, if you had told me day one that she would out kind of like grow faster than Zones, I would have thought you're insane. Like, I was number one supporter of Zones from day one. But she's incredible. And that's all due mainly to the two people that are training her, and also the fact that those girls go around to every different type of company and get more experience. And I just think ACRES time has just not been something that people have been super into. It's gotten better. It's gotten better, I will say that. But I think that connection that people would have had to watching those two, even if it was just wrestling each other for the entire year, one-on-one matches, whatever, there's more of a connection knowing that they're attached to All Japan just by nature than there is having ACRES girls come in and do offer matches. So I think it's a real shame that that's the decision that was made, and seemingly that's what kind of burnt bridges. Apparently, again, it's all hearsay. I don't really know. That said, much like the stuff that happened at the end of last year and the stuff that happened at the start of this year, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And this is sad, and I know we're all suckers for history and nostalgia, and nostalgia is a huge component of why we want certain things and why we cling on to certain memories, but it's going to be okay. Sawama has done so much for this company for so many years. He's allowed to do what he wants to do in terms of, if he wants to step away, that's fine. If he wants a massively reduced schedule from the company, that's fine as well.
100% agree. And I just want to say, I think actress time has, like, they're out of time.
Yeah. I think that's clearly the case.
When I was there, for the first couple of actress time, like, matches. When they announce the matches, they don't announce actress time at the start of the show. So when they came out, everyone forgot, and people got up, they went to the bathroom, they went to get food or drinks. So then they moved the girls to the start of the show. Before the show officially began. And I think they had to do that so people wouldn't get up and leave during the middle of the show.
Yeah.
Like I gave them a chance, but I'm done. I want either of those back. We watched them like debut at the Budokan. They were there. They announced like who they were there. We've seen them wrestle, we've seen them grow, and then for them to just leave, it sucks. It really sucks.
I don't know. Maybe I think the news might have come out between you recording your last episode and this one, about the change to Evolution. Is that right? Or yeah, okay. So from my understanding, that's now going to become a company with both men and women. So that clearly is what both Ishikawa and Suwama will now work on, which is incredible because, like, yes, whilst it's not directly attached to All Japan whatsoever anymore, that's a continuation of the history of this company into what is now a new company, just like Wrestle One was and anything subsequent of that. And you know for a fact, if those two are heading it, which they are, it's going to be good. There's a good vision behind it, and they're incredible trainers, just based purely off the talent that we have in All Japan right now. So I think you can only, like, yes, it's sad, and it's, and again, same thing as we were talking about at the start of the year. People want to come on here and start talking shit and go, the company's doomed, the last remaining bastion of this company is leaving, they're fucked, blah 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 blah. Do whatever you want, that's fine. You still have Kento Miyahara, which is like the spirit of this company. And you clearly have Yuma Aoyagi, who is growing into that position now. I just don't think you like the doom, like doomsday kind of talk and behavior around this stuff is exhausting and really boring, to be honest. Like, Evolution, ha ha ha, is how you progress and become better and become whatever it is that you need to be in the future.
I just want to say with Suama, like, it's sad. I hate change, but I'm happy for him doing what he wants. It's like when Zeus left, because that sucked. But I remember him saying, I spent my 30s in All Japan. I want to spend my 40s in Osaka Pro. And I was happy for him because that's what he wants to do and he loves it. So, Suama, this is like Suama's baby. Evo Girls is Suama's baby. So, I'm so happy. He finally gets to do it after all that. He waited, what, 3, 4 years to start it because of the pandemic? It was supposed to start like 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Something like
something
that.
like that. And that, and like that's the thing. And they're not stupid. They've talked about like progression and where they want to build from there, and like that the fact that they want X amount of new trainees to come in first so that they can build a good foundation before introducing any of these new changes. I just, yeah, I think he's earned this. And like, I know certain people have always ragged on him for the last, genuinely almost since I've been a fan of All Japan, about him being old and worn out and tired. And I know you and Simone talked about this when you were doing his matches. It's just not the case. And I think I would rather that be the situation, that he steps away now before he is what everyone claims him to be, as like washed, fucking hate that term,
Same.
washed or whatever. And he's able to do what he needs to do with this new company, over that of being completely broken down and not able to do what he needs to do.
I guess now it's just a wait and see thing, as much as waiting scene sucks. Like Swama did say he's going to be still wrestling for All Japan. He's going to be there 1 to 2 shows a month, which is way more than I thought he was going to be. So he'll still be there, but I don't know. I'm just going to support him with Evo Girls because he deserves support. 20 years for All Japan. He carried the company on his back. He doesn't get recognition. He should get recognition. The same that Tanahashi guy gets for New Japan.
100%, like, and that is purely based on accessibility and size. That is the situation, because it is mirror, like mirror image, in all honesty, a harder job for what Sawama has done. Like, I'm not, again, not trying to rag on people, but they very clearly didn't have the financial backing of New Japan did. So the fact that he has done as much as he has, become a trainer, trained almost the entire main event scene that you look at now, is insane. Like, just incredible.
This year, huh?
I know, yeah, I know.
Jeez.
But look, I think we've ended in a position, whilst we're not massive on who the Triple Crown champion is right now, apart from that one blemish, and you know, again, sad news about Suwama, but I think we've kind of, it's fair to justify and it makes sense.
Yeah.
We're in a far better position than we are now than we were maybe last year or the start of next year, well, this year. And that's all because of good decisions and people doing their absolute best to present the company.
Yeah, I think like it was very, very shaky at the start of the year. Then mid-year got really, really good.
Yep.
End of year is 50-50.
Yeah, it's, sure.
You know, there's always some news to break after Tag League. Thank God this isn't like the last couple of years, people leaving. It's just Suwama stepping down from his role and just taking on a new role.
Yep.
But I think what they built up, especially with Honda and Ren, because I think the Satos and Anzai have already built so much, they're building for the future, and the future is really looking good.
I agree. And like from this comes stuff, like I was just thinking about it then when we were talking, maybe there's a change to Evolution now because Suwama isn't around as much. Maybe you have somebody like a Dantamora step up, or other people like an Ashino can now fill a position and create a new group with the guys that were in Evolution. I think all of it is chain and reaction, ultimately, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. That's what's going to happen. And I think accepting that and seeing what comes from this is all you can really do.
Yeah, like you said, when people have left, like Zeus left, someone filled that position. Jake left, they filled that position. Izanagi, like Mansour Array left, we filled that position.
Yep.
It's just that Suwama stepping down, someone can step up.
Yeah, truly. And we're in a position where that can happen. I would agree with certain people more if you didn't have anyone there and you couldn't do that, but that's just not the case.
Yeah.
You have more than enough people available to come into those roles and do what it is that you need to do to continue the company.
Well said.
Thank you.
There is one more show before the year ends. I didn't want to do this end of the episode after it because I'll be in Japan. I don't want to record there. Like, I'm not taking my recording stuff there, so that's why we're not covering it. But we're just going to go over the card.
Yep.
So Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, and Tashin Nagao versus Yuka Miyamoto, Sega Tachibana, and Fuminori Abe. It's just classic junior opening match. Like, what more do you want?
Yeah, I think you probably see who the next All Asia champ challenger is going to be out of this. And obviously, there's only one of two options there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, is just continuing on an incredibly good undercard. We didn't really talk about that Sego had like this incredible reign, split up a little bit, but like Yuka Miyamoto is the new champion and is maybe. No, Sato probably beats him out, but my second favorite Suwama cosplayer of doing the thumbs up power bomb. I love it.
It's been great, really.
It has. Yeah.
So they have a New Year's Eve Rumble. They haven't announced all the participants, but what we have now is Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, Hikaru Sato, Shoto Ishino, Kuma Arashi, Azawa number one, Hartley Jackson, and all the way from Hokkaido, Kumagoro Hakai, who has left his cave. The Bears coming down to Tokyo.
Kuma should win and then challenge Yuko Miyamoto for the belt. And then he should win and then he should take over Evolution.
What? Leave the Hokkaido Hokuto Army?
Hokkaido Hokuto Army.
He's from Hokkaido. My mistake makes sense in the end.
No. I like that. I think that is the case. He's only ever a member when they're in his prefecture. And they have, yeah, that's the case. And, like, that's the only time he'll ever help. Otherwise, he has no interest in being around them.
Okay, just simple yes or no. Do you think Kuma will sign?
No, I don't. Because I think still to this at this time, him and Doi, Koji Doi, that is, are a package deal. Like, I'm not sure if you saw any of it. They've had a really great run in Kyushu Pro and gotten incredibly popular over there. I think you would have to have Koji Doi come back, and I don't see that happening at this stage. So, no, I think he'll continue to be a freelancer.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit weird they didn't bring Doi back, but they brought Kuma back. But Kuma is my favorite out of the two, I've got to say.
It's fair. That's fair.
Next up, Dan Tamra versus Daisuke Sekimoto. Oh my god, like this match, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think Dan's winning. I'd love for him to win. It would be awesome. But I think Sekimoto is probably winning.
Yeah. But it's going to be awesome.
Right. It'll be great. And again, just continues at this, which it has for the last however many years, to beg the question of how Dan is a junior heavyweight, but that's fine.
He's a junior heavyweight because we need him right now.
In our heart, he's our junior heavyweight king.
So next up, Rei Sato, Naruki Doi, and Senyo Sato versus Hokuto Mori, Cyrus, and Jack Kennedy. It's just mid-card tag match, really.
Crazy Saito team over there. Like, just insane to me that, like, it's like just one of the brothers, Doi, and then Senyo Sato. And then you have Hokuto Mori, Cyrus, and their translator.
Yeah, when I typed this, I typed Rei, and then I was like, wait, where's June on the card? I forgot he was in the main.
It's weird. It's just like, and that's the thing. If one of them is in a singles match, you're like, well, the other's in a singles match then. Yeah. And that's like, that's just immediately what you think.
Mm. Next up is Asuki's return match. So Yuma Oyagi and Asuki Oyagi versus Ren Yabe and Riki Honda.
This will be great.
It's going to fucking rock.
Yeah, this is like, and Asuki will show out as well, like massively, and you know that. Yeah, awesome team to go against, being just like two bullies, one a huge mountain and the other just an annoying piece of shit. Love Honda. I say that fondly.
That's the perfect description for him, though.
Well, yeah, like in the most fondest way possible, the most annoying piece of shit that you could possibly go against. So that'll be great. And Yuma will do what he always does, which is carry on.
I would love if the Aoyagi team loses and just Honda dances over both their bodies, because he's already done it to Yuma twice this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, there's a chance. It doesn't bode well when you're a junior heavyweight against a heavyweight team, but that's okay.
Oh, seeing him go up to Ayabe will be fun, just the height difference.
Yeah, you'll see him get cut down with a drop kick from the top rope. I'd put money on that fact.
We have a title match next, so All Asia Tag Team Title. Yuma, Anzai, and Rizin Hayato defend against Rei Inoue and Kento Mihara. We already talked about their first match. It was fantastic, so why would this one be any different?
I have a sneaking suspicion this will beat out the one earlier this year. I think Inoue has had even more time to work this together, and the champion team gel so nicely together. Like, they were one of the high points of the tag league, 100%. Like, their tag team moves together, coordination through the ring with each other. Brilliant.
Do you think they win, Kento and Inoue?
Yeah, I do. I think they should. I really think they should. I think, I don't know how it would happen. It doesn't even have to be like a solid win. A roll up would be fine with me, but I think Inoue should pin Anzai.
Oh, wow.
I know.
I like some people, I like it.
Yeah, I think for some people, they'll be like, it's a bit early, but like, that's been the story of this year. Like, an undercover story this year is Inoue turning into this character that he is now, which is this like rebel, and just being like, fuck you, you did me wrong. I'm coming for those belts with this tag partner, and we're taking them from you.
Mm.
And honestly, it kind of has to be this team, in my opinion, that takes it from El Peter. Like, not that any other team doesn't deserve it, but it makes the most sense.
I could see El Peter take it from El Peter. So Riki Honda.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That does. And that would be great as well. But I kind of think this is Inoue's jumping on point of like, next 2025 is my year.
Yeah. I mean, like, team with Kento, you can't really get better than that.
Yeah, truly. And like, in the past, that has been a good indication to show where you're going.
Case in point, Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you now.
Well, and Hayato, like him during the time of Next Dream, like, look at what that did, as it is now.
And in the main event, Triple Crown title match, Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Jun Sato, I hope.
Crazier things have happened. True. I, like, and, you know, if you'd asked me this last year, I would have said, yeah, Ray is the star of this team. And now I actually think it's Jun. Like, I think maybe it's just through given, like, the chances given to him, whatever the situation is. I love Ray. I think he's incredible. But I think just having that, like, being more athletic and having a little bit more of a versatile moveset, Jun has really kind of come just a little bit higher up from Ray in terms of being able to deliver on a main event scene. Clearly, this is what his is this his third title match of the year? No, he had Nakajima one was last year.
No, it was this year. He took Ray's spot because Ray got injured.
That's right. Okay. And then Ray had the one against Anzai. Yeah. That's right. I remember now. Yep. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, technically third very significant singles match for him this year, with the Champion Carnival final against Kento. So yeah. It's not gonna happen, but I'll tell myself it will. Then this is the question then. Who's challenging in the new year against Davey? Because they'll do something surely, either not here but on the in the New Year's cards, like the first two shows.
Yeah. It's Kento.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good shout. Yep.
I think he'll say something about them losing the tag league finals and challenge.
Do you reckon he's taking it?
God, I hope so.
Yeah, I think he is. I think you're right. I don't think anyone else is. Anzai is too soon. I don't want to see Anzai
come out.
No, it's too soon. He needs, honestly, until the second half of this year, the following year, I don't want to see him sniffing anywhere near that belt. He can challenge, but he needs to lose. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Kento. I think you're right. I would, given the news, it's not going to happen. We'll love if it was Sawama, but it's not going to be Sawama. And he's already, what was the stipulation? He can't challenge anymore anyway.
Oh, yeah, but then he took it back like a month later.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't mean it. That's not what, that was the old me. Yeah. It'll be Kento, I think, for sure. Because there's just, I don't really think there's anyone else you could do it. Like Ayabe, no.
Not yet.
Not Honda. Ishino, but again, hasn't been doing anything enough to kind of warrant that. If he had a significant singles match on this card, I'd say yes. If it was him and Daisuke, I'd say there's a chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think you're right. I think Kento's the person that challenges him.
Yeah, I'm just looking down the card, like, who would win? Like, I'm thinking maybe someone who wins the New Year's Eve Rumble, but I hope not. Maybe if Honda beats the Aoyagis, because he beat Kento and Davey Boy in the tag league.
Yeah.
He could challenge.
Yeah.
But when's challenge?
I think the show's too big. If it was in the middle of the year, I would agree.
Mm.
But I think New Year's shows, clearly in the past as well, have been for big attractions, and there is kind of nothing bigger than having Kento as your TC challenger.
Yeah, I can see Ray in June's corner and Kento in Davey Boy's corner.
Yeah. So
then when Davey Boy wins, he can be like, I challenge next.
Yeah. I think that's a good call. I think that's a good call. Okay. Yeah. I hope that's the case. And yeah. I'm ready for another Kento reign at this point.
But I mean, I will lose it if June wins. You'll hear me screaming on the stream.
It would be, it's funny though, because something like off topic, but the over in Dragon Gate, Dragon Dyer just had a double title match against Yamato for their Open the Brave Gate and Open the Dream Gate. And he similar-ish, but not quite on the same level nowhere near on the same level as the Saitos, has garnered a lot of traction just all around. And the company has been very, very behind him. There's a chance, but I don't think it's happening. I would love it. I would love. And then I would love them to have a TC title match in their hometown. That would be incredible.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen.
I don't know. Like, I think some title matches are easy to pick, but these two I'm not 100% sure. Like the All Asia and Triple Crown.
I'm super unsure on the All Asia. I'm almost certain on the Triple Crown, but I'm very happy to be wrong.
They got some juniors before Naruki Doi's match. So if they win a match, they can challenge after his match with, his Saito family. So we could be looking at a junior title match coming up soon because we don't have one and we haven't had one for a long time.
Could have Sago challenge, although he only just lost the All Asia, but you could have Sago challenge. He's defended against Musashi, against Seki. Yuko's the champion. He hasn't, no, has he defended against Abe? Yes, he has. I think he has. Maybe not.
Probably. I don't know.
It was a, I'm gonna have
It's
to look
been a
that up.
while.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up actually while we're talking. But yeah, there's a chance, or somebody comes out of the Rumble and does it. I would love Dan, actually. Maybe it's even Dan. Maybe he challenges.
Ben beats Sakimoto to challenge.
Doesn't even, look, he doesn't have to beat Sekimoto. Yeah.
It's usually like you can kind of tell like if somebody wins early in the like show, like okay, they're challenging at the end of the show. That's what
That's
I'm
true.
basing it off.
He hasn't wrestled Abe. There's
Okay.
a chance Abe challenges.
I can see that.
Yeah, he's wrestled everyone else that isn't a champion in that tag match. So
And then what else? Goro TV title, but that's can be done in the first match.
they can do whatever.
The World
Who's
Tag
who?
Team.
Yeah, I was gonna say who's challenging the Saitos.
I have no.
I
Oh,
think.
actually, the first what who's challenging next year is Hideki Suzuki and Daisuke Sakamoto.
Can't believe I didn't remember that and start talking about that. Okay. This might go a minute. I have a plan here.
Okay.
I have a very strong plan, which is we are running back 2018 Strong VJ versus Violent Giants, where we go across from All Japan. Well, they're doing the inverse here. What they need to do is they need to beat them for the belts. And then the Saitos go to Big Japan and challenge those two over there, and they win it back. And then we do another match back in All Japan, and the Saitos defend. And that's just three matches. That's all they need to
Okay, I can see this. Yeah.
you watching at that point?
No, I
That
started in 2019.
okay. Have you ever gone back and watched that?
No.
You need to go back and watch that.
Okay.
That's like.
Let me write
That
this down.
was the first year of me watching All Japan. It was 2018, maybe a little part of 2017. That was the point where I went, this is probably the best company in Japan right now.
Wow.
I'll send you links. I'll send you links because I remember them. It's three of the best. I think it's three. Three of the best matches that I've ever seen in All Japan.
We like an early Christmas present to myself.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, like, when Okabayashi did his last match in All Japan over a year ago now,
Yeah.
it meant so much because I was like, I remembered those other matches, and I was like, that's so special. But yeah, that's what I need. I need them. But that'll be incredible. That's probably going to be my match of the year for a hot minute there, to be
Yeah.
honest.
Do you think like they will win? Because the next champions who win will be the 100th champions. I don't know if All Japan wants to make that big or they just don't care.
Do you reckon they know that that's the number that they're on? Let's have a
Will
look.
have to know.
They've held these belts for 265 days. And
They
they
only dropped them
have,
because they were injured.
yeah. They have one, two, three, four, five, six defenses already. What's the record? It's probably something insane, actually. Look, I'm actually similar to the All Asia. I have no idea. They could go either way, in all honesty. Sekimoto and Hideki are a pretty crazy team to go up against.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're both outsiders actually makes me think that there's a better chance that they win.
True.
But honestly, in my mind, either one is a fine option. Honest, yeah.
Yeah, All Japan loves the outsiders, and Hideki
Oh, yeah.
Suzuki hasn't been rewarded with the title yet. So I feel like that's what they used to do a lot with Tajiri when he was like, he brought his friends in, like when Super Crazy got the belt for like a hot second.
If people want to talk about dark days,
Yeah.
that's, yeah, that whole Super Crazy into Sugi into like all of that was rough, 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 rough.
Yeah.
And Shima, like,
Ugh.
I, yeah, just not, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
No, not at all.
Oh, and then Tiger Mask. Don't forget about Tiger Mask and that terrible rain.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, fuck. I guess the only good thing that came out of that was crowning Atsuki. Like that was the
Yeah.
only good thing that came out of that. But yeah, other than that, it was pretty hard going.
Okay. Do you want to say like anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think this year has been super necessary, is probably what I would say. Like you need to have a year of rebuilding like this so that for the following year, which honestly I think was so quick as well, that you saw the fruits of that labor very early on in the year anyway, so that you can have a year that we're probably going to have in 2025. Everything is set up to kind of get even bigger and better than it already is now, and that these things will always happen. Bad decisions always happen. It's like you have to be fair in justifying and like evaluating things to say how dire something is versus what the actual situation is being presented to you. So I guess that's just kind of how I look at it. And like just everyone needs to calm down a little bit. You're gonna
Yeah.
drive yourself insane. Like it's I'm not saying it's not that serious, but it will be okay. Things will turn out for the best in most circumstances.
Yeah. I think people just have to start looking for the positives because it's so easy to be negative. Like,
Super. And that's not to say being critical of something is not a, like everyone's allowed to be critical of something. I think critiquing things is fine. That's not a problem. But disingenuous ragging something is for the sheer point of trying to get traction in a cesspool that is Twitter or whatever you want to call it is fine. Go ahead and do that, but that's a miserable existence that you're leading there.
yeah. Like if you made it through like the December, January, February, you deserve like a medal, really.
Yeah. And you probably feel like being optimistic about things is a nicer way of living than being super negative about stuff all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about some positive things and I think take that into next year.
Yeah, I think more so than negative. I think
Yeah.
there are so many more positives than there are negatives.
Yeah. All Japan's fun.
Yeah,
Watch All Japan and
100%.
just have fun. Stay away from the negative stuff because they suck.
Yep.
And
And it's
just, yeah.
great year to jump on by all by looking at everything right now. Next year is an even better year to jump on. So if you want to do so with this like end of the year map card and also the following ones because they'll be great watching.
So another episode has come to an end, and so has Jumping Knee Pod for 2024. I'll be back next year, so don't worry. I just want to give a massive thank you to all that helped me out with the end of the awards. Like, everyone's amazing. Thank you to everyone who liked, shared, listened, interacted with Jumping Knee Pod. It means so much to me, especially how worried I was when I went solo. And like a huge thank you to Lewis. He's my state mate. He started the year with me. He ended the year with me. He's amazing. So if you want to talk to me about your picks or anything about All Japan, you can find me at Sister Jessie and Royal Road 72 on Twitter and also Sister Jessie on Blue Sky.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Just as we said before, the only hope is that things get bigger and better. I look forward to the pod coming back next year, and I'm sure I'll talk to you next year at some point
Yes.
as well. I look forward to it.
So, thank you all once again. Happy holidays. I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next year for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of nominees, and a few of those wrestlers are added for the very first time. Welcome to The Ballot, a brand new podcast on the Countout Network dissecting the pro wrestling careers of these first-time nominees on the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame Ballot. This is a place where the conversations begin on whether or not these newbies are worthy of being considered true Hall of Famers. Join me, Ryan Knightsey, as I sit down with a guest every month and discuss if a wrestler has the skills, the stardom, and the significance to be considered one of the greats. Subscribe to The Ballot wherever you get podcasts and follow along to learn with me about the greatness of professional wrestling. Please enjoy the show.
Joe Montana here. In my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease. Are you 50 or older like me? The CDC now recommends vaccination against pneumococcal disease. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at increased risk and over 6 times greater risk of hospitalization with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50. Schedule your appointment today at vaxassist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.